Brothers, sisters, and friends, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here. I count it a privilege to be among the Lord's people. I count it a privilege to be able to speak to you tonight. And I hope that you'll pray for me, that we can forget self, that we can look to Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I'm going to say this to start with. Sometimes Primitive Baptist has customs. I might not need to go there. But sometimes they do. I was trying to watch all through the preaching service, see what some of these preachers did. Some of them took their coat off. Some of them put their coat on. I'm trying to decide what to do. So I'm going to tell you this. Several years ago, I was in an associational meeting in Southeast Georgia. In an October hot day, and not a Texas hot day, by the way. But it was a pretty hot day. This preacher got up and was going to preach this man. The building wasn't air conditioned. And he was a pretty big fella. And he got up and he said this. He said, "I've taken my coat off because," he said, "if I get to preaching, I'm going to get hot. And," he said, "if I don't preach, I'm going to get hotter." Well, now, that's my feeling tonight. If I preach, I'm going to get hot. But if I don't preach, I'm going to get a whole lot hotter. Now, don't you understand, too, that I believe this, and preaching is not measured by the clock. Some of the best preaching I've ever heard in my life been done in 15 minutes. Some of the worst I've been heard been done in an hour. All right. So I ask you to pray for me tonight, for what little time I might stand before you, that we can forget ourselves and look to Jesus Christ, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. If I follow the dictates of my mind, and that's the thing that I, in the years that I've tried to preach to the Lord's people, that's the one. I set rules for myself. One of them was to follow the dictates of your mind. The next rule is this, that if you're going to try something, if you're going to preach something, do it to your own home folks first. I'm fixing to break that rule. I'm not going to try it on my home folks first. I'm going to try it on you Texas people. And I hope that the Lord will bless us all whenever we get it. If I follow the dictates of my mind, I'm going to follow this. I'm going to give you five phrases tonight that I believe that in the scripture teaches it. And listen to it. The first one is by him. The second, in him. For him. Through him. And on him. Now, I want us for a little bit to remember those things. I'm going to call your attention to start with. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 3. And this is what Samuel said. And by the way, if you go back, this is Hannah's prayer. I can remember when our son, and she prayed that she'd give her a son. That God would give her a son, and he did. That's whenever my wife and I got one child. And we prayed for several years that God would send us one, and I'm thankful that he did. So she made the statement to my sister one time and said, "I tell you this, it looks like I'm going to have to rearrange my house." My sister told her, said, "I got news for you. You don't have to rearrange your whole life. Because I believe you can, and if you will, certainly, raising the children." All right, then Samuel, the prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 2. It says, "Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." Now I want to stop just a minute and get, if you will, off track for just a few minutes. I want you to notice two or three words to that they are in that. Notice he says, "Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth." You go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. You're going to find two people in there. One of them is a Pharisee. The other one is a publican. And I'm going to ask you which one. You look at that and see which one of those had arrogance about it. You know what? When the Pharisee prayed, he began to brag of everything he'd done. He said, "I pray twice a week. That didn't itself wrong, because we ought to be praying every day." So he said, "Let not." He says, "I pray for twice a week. I give a tenth of everything that I own, and so on." He, in other words, what he said was, "He look at me. This is what I am." But notice what happened to the next one. When the Pharisee came and prayed, he said, "Lord, have mercy." He smote upon his breast. And he said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Now I'll ask you this question tonight. Which one of those showed arrogance? Which one of those showed a humble attitude? Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. I'm going to go to one more word in that word, knowledge. I'm going to call your attention to start with. Let's go to the book of Acts. Right, we're going to go to Acts chapter 15 and verse 18. And it says this. It says, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you think that any of us have got to acquaint God with anything? No, sir. I believe he knows our hearts. I believe he knows our minds. He knows what we're thinking. And he knows all there is to know. All right. So it says in that text of Scripture then, as he says that, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Now notice though, "Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge." Let's go into the Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 10. What these folks call, if you will, the Good Shepherd chapter. In that text, in John chapter 10, at verse number 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand." I was listening one time. Sometimes I get in trouble by listening to somebody on the radio, on some of these, false prophets. I'll go ahead and say that. False prophets on the radio, was listening to one time, and he told me this. He said, "If you believe in the eternal security of the Lord's people," he said, "you're on dangerous ground." Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, I'll just get my feet wet, because I believe in the eternal security of the Lord's people. I don't believe that they'll ever, if you will, ever be separated from him. I believe we can get to the point sometimes where we might lose fellowship, but I don't believe we'll ever get to the point where we ever will lose relationship. That's not going to happen. So it says, "Now, talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord's God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." I'm going to tell you something tonight. That's one of the most ridiculous statements that I've ever heard people make. Here goes. If you people, he said, "If I believe the way you do, if I believe the way you do, God's got a people chosen in him, if we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, I name it on and on and on, I would do anything I want to do and get by with it." I got news for you folks tonight. I'm doing what I want to do. It'd be kind of ridiculous for me to tell you that I have driven 1,000 miles, and I thought one time we were never going to get here. We encountered Austin, Texas back there, and uh-oh!
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. It almost caused a fuss between me and her because we got into that traffic. Now, it'd be ridiculous for me to tell you that I know what I'm doing here. And I hope, as I stand before you, that I'm praising God, that I'm preaching, standing for the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Now it says this, that we are responsible. Here we go. We are responsible. I can't help that. We are responsible for what we do. You know that? If we weren't, here's one I feel like we're responsible for. I believe that it's necessary for the Lord's people, for us, as Primitive Baptists, I'm going to make a statement to you. I believe I made it at home not long ago. I can tell you tonight that I believe that church discipline is necessary. I believe that church discipline is necessary. I believe there's some things that the Lord's people sometimes do when they know not to. That's the sad part. But so it says in this text, he says, by him actions are weighed. I got news for you tonight. We're not going to get away with one thing, because God knows our thoughts. God knows our actions. God knows what they are to know about us. Alright, so one of these first ones then is by him. This text of scripture says, by him actions are weighed. Now let me tell you, I don't believe that there's a person, regardless of who they are, I don't believe that they will ever be lost from the relationship of God. But I'm here to tell you that our actions are weighed. There's a lot of folks today, I'll just go ahead and tell you, there's a lot of folks today that dread the day of judgment. I got news for you. The day of judgment is right now. I believe that we're judged day by day by day. I don't look for it to come. I believe it's all, we're judged already. All right. Now, I said, and by him actions are weighed. Those actions are weighed now. And I told some of these folks here not long ago, I claim to be a Texan. And I'm going to tell you why. I got some sad news whenever I got here. I was stationed in 1970 when I came home from Vietnam. I had 18 months left in my hitch. They sent me off to a place called Fort Hood, Texas. If Uncle Sam had known what kind of favor he was doing me, he would have sent me to Timbuktu somewhere. But he put me right in the nets of Primitive Baptist people. For that, I'm thankful. Now, notice, though, and he says, by him, actions are weighed. I believe our actions are weighed day by day by day by day. Let's all face it. We're sinners by nature. And here's what some folks don't understand. We're sinners by nature from the smallest infant to the oldest adult. And if you don't believe that, you stir an infant up one time and he's going to show you what he's made from. He'll do that. But it says, by him actions are weighed. But they're not weighed in the future. their way for right now. I believe because of that, understand this, I believe one of these days we're going to hear them say, come in, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The greatest news today that we can have after this life is over, just what we just said, come in, ye blessed of my Father. So it says, and by him then, actions are weighed. There's the by him. All right? Let's look now. The next one we're going to look at is that phrase, in him. I tell my folks sometimes, in your studying anything, you know, you just can't beat common sense. Common sense will work when everything else fails. You know that? It will. All right. Notice that when he said in that, in him, when you're talking about in him, I believe that there's God made a choice. That choice was before the foundation of the world. You go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4. He says, having chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now the skeptic is going to come back and say, if you take that text of scripture out of the scripture, some of them will. If you take that text of scripture out of it, you can't prove that God hasn't elect people. Give me a break. I believe I can prove it by taking that text of scripture out. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse number 2. This is what Peter said about it. He said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. There's another one. I done proved again with another text of Scripture. Yeah, God's got an elect people. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And if you're, a stranger, and you may be a stranger to Primitive Baptist people, the thing of what sticks out about the book of Acts is if everything is the book of Romans, I'll get it in a minute, the book of Romans is a contained Bible. It contains everything, if you will, from the disobedience of man, from the sin of man, to the resurrection of the body. We're going to go to Romans again. Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. And ask an important question right here. Romans chapter 8, this is what the Apostle Paul said. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. I'm going to tell you today that every one of the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, every one of them that are chosen him, in him, before the foundation of the world, every one of them, they justified by the goodness and the grace of God. All right. So number two, is that subject, is in him. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Notice it says this. Here's something for the Lord's people to do. Colossians chapter 3 verse 12 is, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. I can take out Ephesians, having chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, I can still show you, I can prove to you that God has an elect people. Simple as that. So here's the in him. All right? Now, you notice that, and go to the next one, is for him. Let's go again into the New Testament, and let's go to the Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I'm going to tell you what we advocate and believe in Georgia. I believe today that there is more than one salvation taught in the Scripture. There's more than one salvation taught in the Scripture. And if you don't do that, you have to rightly divide the word of truth. Because it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, I believe that text of Scripture, just like any of the rest of them, has to be rightly divided, and it has to be rightly applied. I'll give you an example of that. Several years ago, when I was still employed by the telephone company, that was where I had my occupation, I had to have my job required that I had to have a commercial driver's license. That meant going every 2 years and getting an ETS, an ETS physical. Well, it was time for that. It was time for that. So I kept putting it off and putting it off. I knew my blood pressure was high. And I knew that if I got there, I was going to fail. Well, I kept pushing, go down and get it. This doctor said, he told me. He said, "Now, Mr. Hayes," he said, "I'm going to tell you, your blood pressure is high." He said, "What you need to do is eat more vegetables." I stood there for a minute and I said, "Doc, I don't see how in the world I can eat any more French fried potatoes than I already do." I'm here to tell you that sent that doctor through the roof. You see, things have to be rightly divided and rightly applied. You go again back over in the book of Psalms, book of Psalms chapter 3 verse 8. It says salvation belongeth to the Lord. So go to Jonah chapter 2 verse 9. It says salvation is of the Lord. Now, you've got to look at that and say this. Uh-oh, if we don't do some studying, we found a conflict in the Scripture. We haven't found a conflict because there is none. That just simply comes to the conclusion that there's more than one salvation. There's a salvation that's by the grace of God, but there's a salvation that the individual must work out. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now let's look at that for just a minute. And I'm watching the clock up there. Don't worry. Let's look at that for just a minute. Where it says that, "Much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." That's got to be rightly divided because we've got more than one. Or there's a conflict. There's not a conflict because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. All right. So then that text of Scripture. Getting back to that text of Scripture, as it teaches us with that, when it says, and that text, what says, in him, Philippians chapter 2, for it is God that worketh in you. You got to look at it like this. This is the way I'm going to look at it. And if it's wrong, please come and tell me. All right? But it's common when it says that, in that text of Scripture, notice what it says, for it is God that worketh in you. It's got to be worked into you before it can be worked out. Got to be worked in you before it can be worked out. So we got in that text of Scripture, and I notice that was there's the for him. The next one that Israel says is through him. Let's again go to the book of Philippians. We're going to book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. It says here, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, there's another word we got to pick up. Notice what it says. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. There's some things today that goes on in this world that God does not approve of. Lots of them. Thank you. And it's getting worse. Now, is of those things, in that all things, is that part of the all things that he's talking about? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But it says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, I believe it is the responsibility of every child born again, child of God, to walk, if you will, in obedience to our God. I believe it is the responsibility of every born again child of God to keep the Lord's house clean and in order. After all, you know, there's some things that are disorder. All right. So that I can do all things then through Christ that strengtheneth me. I want to ask you a question. I hate to have to say this, but I'm getting to the point some things where I can't do some things that I could 40 years ago. Sometimes I'm beginning to tell myself, I want to tell myself I'm 20, but my body tells me I'm not. That may be happening to some of the rest of you. My body tells me I'm not. But I still tell you this, that whatever we are to do with God, I can do the things that God enables us to do, that we are to do through the strength of God. Through the strength of God. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. All right. That has got us through the end of the through him. Now, here's the finale, okay? The next thing is on him. What does that mean? When it says we're on him, aren't we thankful today when we look at it? That, like I said a while ago, every one of us are sinners by nature. It is our nature to do that. And I have to tell you this, that man left alone until God visits him by spirit and God gives him, if you will, a change of heart, a change of mind. And notice that in that text where it that said heart first, I believe your heart's got to be changed before your mind can. All right. So it says in that text of Scripture, men left alone, they would rather be into the sin pits of this world. Because that's their nature. But I'm thankful to God today that there's not one. We're never out of his reach. We never get out of his reach. We never get out of his hand. We never get out of his power. We never get out of his watching over us. And I'm thankful because of his, we're being by him, and because we're in him, and because we're for him, and then through him, because we are now on him. On him. How are we on him? Aren't we thankful today when we look at it? And again, talking about the sinful nature of man, that Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, you know, several years ago, I was reading an article in a Fort Walton Beach, Florida newspaper. And this is what the article was discussing. It had this question. Did Jesus Christ know who he was? And here's the thing about it, is the most educated people gave the dumbest answers to that. Of course he knew who he was. Because he said in when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, "Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thou wilt." All right? So he knew who he was. I believe that he knew what his purpose was when he came here, and one of the last seven things that he had to say as he hung on Calvary's cross was this. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He said, "It is finished." Now, the skeptic going to come back and say, well, what that text meant was his life is finished. Never happened. I'm going to give you a name. Somebody might hear. The name of Elder Ricky Harcrow. Hey, some of you here will know that name. I heard him preach something I never thought of. He said, "Do you know that there is a human being today in heaven? And that human being is Jesus Christ." So that shoots down the fact that when he said it's finished, then his life is finished. It's not. Because I'm here to tell you today that he overcame the grave and he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father today at still making intercession for us. Right there is the on him. Aren't we thankful that the sins of humanity, for all ones that the Father gave, their sins today are on him. And today that he finished that work that the Father gave him to do. And you know, again, I read an article one time that said that some of us was talking about some things that's happened in the past. Some things I got to reading an article one time. Whenever the resurrection takes place, and whenever the Lord comes back after whether those that are his, they come out of the grave, are they going to be a hole there? Who cares? Because we're finished. Because we are in him. And I'm thankful today that we'll never be separated from him. because every one of us are kept in Him, by Him, to that finished work. May the Lord bless you.